Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message. So you got to put your thinking cap on this one, okay? Here we go. It says that a man went to the hospital because his mother-in-law was very ill. She was very sick. On his way back home, his wife called him and said, hey, honey, how's my mom doing? The husband said, well, you know, your mom's doing great. Your mom's doing amazing. She is healing, and pretty soon she's going to be discharged from the hospital, and she's going to come live for us, live with us for a long time. The wife looked at him and he said, wait a minute. That's amazing. How can that be? I mean, yesterday when I was there, she was in her deathbed. She didn't have much time left. She didn't look good. The husband says to her, well, I don't know what you're talking about. But I saw the doctor and he told me that we should plan for the worst. Some of you, you'll get it on your way home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you this morning. Lord, your joy is our strength. Your joy is our strength. Father, we want to have a good time in your presence. Your presence doesn't have to be rebuking. Your presence doesn't have to be oppressing. Lord, we can come into your presence and delight and smile and be filled with peace and joy. So I pray that as we learned from your truth, as we are instructed by your word, that we would have a great time. That this may be the best hour of our week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we started a new series that we've titled Dream Again. And this series is an invite from God to you. This series is God inviting you to take on your dreams. God is inviting you to dream again. And let me tell you, God has a dream for every single one of you. Let me say that again. God has a dream for every single one of you. When God wants to bless a person, one of the things that he does is that he gives that person a dream. A dream is God's blessing to a person. And not just to a person, but to those around you. I want you to know that the dream that God gives you will not only bless you, but it will bless those around you. See, a dream from God is like God illuminating our lives. It's like God turning on a switch. When everything is dark, you can't see where you're going. You can't delight in the beauty of colors. You can't delight in the presence of people because it's dark. But when there's light, suddenly you can see where you're going. You see what's ahead. You see who's there. You see the beauty of colors. And a dream is God turning on the light in our lives to illuminate our future. Amen. See, that's why God gives a dream to every person. And that is why today I want to talk to you about why everybody needs a dream. I don't know if you got a dream. And if you weren't here last week, I'm obviously not talking about those dreams you have while you're asleep. No. I'm talking about those dreams that you have while you're awake. Can I tell you something powerful the Holy Spirit just poured down on me as I was preparing for this message this week? Listen, this is powerful. Somebody ought to tweet this after, okay? Not during, after. God will prolong your life before he gives up on your dream. Oh, come on. We're Pentecostal, aren't we? I thought somebody was going to get up and shout. God will prolong my life before he gives up on the dream that he created me to fulfill. Some of you, you're still alive because God hasn't given up on your dream. You may have had, but he has not given up on your dream. He created you with a dream. He gave you a dream. He birthed a dream in you. And that is why everybody needs to dream. See, last week I told you that one of the reasons that people don't dream is that every dream is contested. Every dream is tested. Every dream is harder than we think. Every dream takes longer than we think. But another reason people give up on their dreams, people abandon their dreams, you ready for this? Is because dreams bring you problems. Come on, somebody. I know I'm preaching better than you're listening. Dreams bring you problems. Some people don't want to dream because a dream will create problems in your life. Let me prove this to you. In Genesis 37, 18 and 19, we have the story of Joseph. Joseph the dreamer, right? Last week we saw that Joseph dreamed again. Joseph had another dream. Look at what happens in verses 18 and 19. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him at a distance. Anybody know why they recognized him? Coat. He had a very beautiful, colorful coat, right? As he approached, look at this. They made plans to what? Now, you guys know I'm the favorite one, right? And if you don't know, you need to know. I have suspicions. So pray for my siblings. Oh, I'm joking. They made plans to kill him. Verse 18. Here comes the what?
Dreamer.
Here comes the dreamer, they said. See, Joseph's brothers went above not liking him. Maybe you don't like some of your siblings. Maybe you've had thoughts, if you're honest. Oh, if I could do this to this. But it's very likely that you've never made plans to kill one of your siblings, or at least I hope so. See, his brothers didn't like Joseph, not only because Joseph had special favor from his father, but his brothers didn't like Joseph because Joseph got a special gift from his heavenly father. Joseph was chosen by God to be somebody great and somebody important. And let me tell you, your dreams, like Joseph's dreams, will create problems for you. If you got a dream of having a united and healthy family, you're going to have problems because health and unity don't come naturally. You're going to have to battle differences. You're going to have to deal with offenses. You're going to have to solve those problems in order to achieve your dream. If you got a dream of becoming a godly man, of becoming a godly woman, you're going to have problems because your flesh and society are not going to let you do it so easily. If you got a dream of owning a business, you're going to have problems because not everybody's going to see or believe what you see and believe. People abandon their dreams because dreams bring you problems. Here's another tweetable quote. You ready for this? Just don't do it now. Remember, I see some of you on your phone. No, I'm joking. This is powerful. There's something I want you to take today is this. Not all problems are bad. Not all problems are bad. Now, I'm about to tell you something that is going to rattle your world and shake down your squirrel. Some of us, we got problems. Listen to this. Some of us, we got problems, not because we're doing something wrong, but because we're following our dream. Some of us are dealing with obstacles, not because we are doing something wrong, but because we're doing something right, and we're going after our dreams. Now, if that doesn't convince you, this next part will convince you. Here's one thing that I realize. Whether you got a dream or you don't have dreams, you still got problems, right? Whether you're following after your dream or you've given up, I know something about you. You got problems. Jesus said that we would have problems. So in light of that, isn't it better to say, hey, I got some problems, but I'm walking towards my destiny, I'm walking towards my dream, than to say, oh man, I got a bunch of problems and I'm not going anywhere. So if we're going to deal with problems, let's deal with the problems that are going to lead us to the dream that God birthed us with. Everybody needs a dream. Look at the following verse with me. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 5. You may be familiar with this verse. is the story of Solomon when God appears to him. And look at what he says. Look at what verse 5 says. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon how? Did you know that that was the way God appeared to Solomon? God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, look at what God said. What do you want? Oh, come on, somebody. What would you ask if God said that to you? Change my wife, Lord. I'm not saying that that's what I would ask. That's what you would ask. That's why you laughed. What has God said to Solomon? What do you want? Look at what he says. Ask and it will be what? And I will give it to you. See, here's the thing. God appears to Solomon in a dream. Do you know why God appeared to Solomon in a dream? If God appears to Solomon while he's awake, he wouldn't have asked what he asked for. See, because when you're dreaming, you'll go after what really matters. When you're not dreaming, you'll go after foolish temporary things. God appeared to Solomon in a dream to fulfill the dream that God gave Solomon. So what I want to do today in the remaining time that I have is I want to encourage you to dream again. Everybody in this room needs a dream. And we've talked about the challenges, the struggles, the problems, the issues. But I want to give you three reasons, three benefits that happen in our life when we dream. How many are ready? You ready? Ready? Number one, the dreams of God in your life, here's the first thing they do. They reveal God's purpose for you. The dream of God in your life will reveal God's purpose for you. Question, what does your future await for you? What's going to be of your life 5 years from now, 10 years from now? For those of you that are young, 20, 30 years from now, what awaits for you in your future? Is it good or is it bad? Is it a blessing to those around you or will it be a curse to those around you? Will it make a difference or will there be nothing but regret at the end of your years? What awaits for you in your future? George Barna said the following in one of his books. He said, if you are not clear about where you are going, your chances of succeeding on your journey will be severely limited. I want to tell you something. The fact that you live in this century, the fact that you live in Southern California, in the San Fernando Valley, the fact that you look the way you look, the fact that you speak the languages that you speak, the fact that you work where you work, it all has to do with God's purposes for your life. They are not a coincidence. See, if God wanted you to be taller, he would have made you taller. If God wanted you to impact a different century, he would have birthed you in a different century. The fact that we are alive now and that we are around the people we are is not a coincidence. God designed it. Listen to this. Number one, for his glory. But number two, because he has a role for you and for me in his eternal plans. God's got a plan. God is a God who has a plan. And what you need to know is that part of his plan is you. God has something that he wants you to fulfill. No matter how young you are, no matter if you're a woman or a man, no matter whatever language you speak, God has a purpose for your life. Look at what Acts 13:36 says. Now, when David had served whose purposes? God's purposes. Where? In his own generation, he fell asleep. Will that be said of you? Will it be said, Nestor served God's purposes in his generation? Will it be said of you, he served God's purposes in his generation? See, God's dreams for us reveal to us God's purpose for our life. I don't know if you're a planner or not, but you definitely have to think about your future. And I don't know if everybody knows what they want out of their future. I want to tell you that I do. I got a 2-year plan, I got a 5-year plan, I got a 10-year plan, and I got a 15-year plan. I know what I want to accomplish, what I want to do by certain years in my life. I surrender them to the Lord. I seek His direction, but I have an idea of what I want. And let me tell you something. When you start thinking about your future, planning your future, you're either going to do what you want or you're going to fulfill God's purposes for your life. And let me give you, because I love you, see, because I love you, let me give you a warning in case you are tempted to do your will and not God's purposes. Look at what Psalms 127:1 says. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders, what? In other words, unless you are going after God's purposes, a lot of what we do will be useless. You want your life to matter? Go after God's dreams because they reveal God's purpose for you. But number two, the second thing that God's dreams do in us is that they release your potential. God's dreams in our lives, they release the potential. See, God's dreams in you, they bring out the best in you. Let me tell you, you can think, Pastor, I don't have a big dream. I'm just a mom. But let me tell you, a mom with a dream will be a better mom. A young person with a dream will be a better young person. A business owner with a dream will be a better business owner. A worship leader with a dream will sing better because dreams, the dreams of God, bring out the best in us. Look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:14. He said, I press on towards the goal for what? For the prize. See, you think, well, my dream is so insignificant because, you know, I just want to get through life raising these little ones. That's not insignificant. Because those kids can be raised up to change the world. You may be saying, well, you know, my dream is insignificant because you know, I'm broke. Well, Paul said that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I want you to know something. Each one of us has the potential of doing great things. And that greatness is found in God's dream for us. But the problem is that we want to see greatness from one day to the other. I'm reminded of a illustration that was done in a university. They took a big room and they filled it with mouse traps. And after they had set each mouse trap, they put a ping pong ball on each mouse trap. They filled an entire room with mouse traps that had a ping pong ball. When it was filled, they took one single ball and they tossed it inside the room. That one ball hit a mouse trap that set it off. And as it was set off, it launched the ping ball, which set off another mouse trap. And when they least knew it, the room was filled with bouncing balls. That's what God's dream do in our life. They may start small. They may start as a small step of faith, as a small step of obedience. But what they do is that they create and they release the potential that is in each and every single one of us. Every single one of you, every single one of you has potential to do something great. Did you know that a shark will grow according to the size of where it lives? That's one of the reasons you don't see great whites in aquariums. Because a shark is limited by where he grows. And let me tell you, some of you, you're great whites, but you're living in a fish tank. You're living in a pond. and you need to get out of that pond. You need to get out of that fish tank, and you need to get in the ocean. And the way you do that is by going after God's dreams for you. Stop living in a pond. Allow God's dreams to release His potential, the potential in your life. Number three, God's dreams in your life will rejuvenate you. They will rejuvenate you. They will motivate you. See, God's dreams are like rocket fuel in our life. They propel us. They launch us forward. Can I be honest with you? Or can I confess something to you? I think I'm always honest, but at least I try to be when I'm up here. But can I confess something to you? November, December, and January, I was dragging my feet. When it came to life, when it came to church, I was dragging my feet. And before you judge me, I tell you that because I want you to know that we all go through that. I was dragging my feet. As we began to prepare for this series, it required me to start thinking and focusing about God's dream for my life again. And let me tell you, since we started, God is doing something in me. Somebody said something to me yesterday. They said, "Master, there's a glow to you." And they thought that there was a glow in me because Lorena and I went on a date Friday night. And that was good. That was awesome. We had a great time. But you know why there's a glow in me? Because God's dreams are rejuvenating me. God's dreams are rocket fuel in my life. And let me tell you something that has happened in me. As I begin to stop thinking about the problems and start worrying about what's happening and what's not happening, and I started to dream again, let me tell you, I realize that I should enjoy life. This should be fun. Pastoring shouldn't be a burden. It should be a joy. It should be a delight. And when you dream, you do what you need to do and you enjoy it because God's dreams for you, they rejuvenate you. Look at what Hebrews 12:1 says. It says, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." You know, as you pursue God's dreams for you, they're going to take time. But when you embrace, when you hang on, when you anchor your life in God's dreams, they will rejuvenate you time after time so that you can be persistent. And then here's the other thing. This is so powerful. God's dreams are not only a revelation of God's purpose for our life, but God's dreams, here's another tweetable thing, God's dreams are a manifestation of His love for you. You realize that God is love? He doesn't have love. He is love. Everything he does out of love. So that means that the dream that He gave you, the purpose that He gave you, is because He loves you. Look at what 2 Corinthians 5:14 says. God's dreams for us, Christ's love compels us. Compels us to what? To keep going. Compels us to not give up. When you know you are loved, life takes on a whole different aspect. It was about, maybe 8, 9 years ago. We were still part of the Spanish congregation, and Pastor Frank was still the senior pastor. And as a church, we did a family camp, which we want to do soon. We want to be able to go away and be able to spend some time away. But we were having a family camp. And I remember the Saturday morning, Pastor Frank did a devotional. And then at the end of that devotional, he gave all the families an assignment. And he said, "Parents, take your kids somewhere and ask them to tell you what's their biggest dream." Oh man, I remember that my turn came up. And I think my mom took Melody and Katie, and my dad took me and Hugo. And one by one, Hugo waited while I spoke with my dad, and then I waited while Hugo spoke with my dad. And I remember that I was sitting in front of my dad, and I knew what my big dream was, right? Because God gave it to me when I was a teenager. And I really hadn't told many people. Because I was afraid. I was afraid that I wouldn't fulfill it. I was afraid that they would laugh at me because, you know, they would think that my dream was bigger than my abilities. And I remember being in front of my dad and he asked me, he goes, Mijo, what's your dream? And one of the things that I do when I'm nervous is I laugh. That's kind of how my defense mechanism. So I kind of started laughing and then I started crying. I started crying because it was hard. It was hard to say my dream because I was afraid of rejection and failure. Because if somebody knew me, it was my parents. And my dad's such an amazing dad. He took his time. He prayed for me. And then he asked me again. He said, Mijo, what's your son? What's your dream? And I said, Dad, my dream is to pastor a church that impacts the nation. I go, that's my dream. He started to cry too. And then he prayed for me. And he hugged me. And he said, I believe in you and I commit to praying for your dream. And you know, he's out in Ensenada and we talk just about every day. And if there's somebody that I open up to, it's my dad. And when things get tough, he tells me, don't forget the dream. Because that's what love does. God's love compels us. See, God's love rejuvenates us. God's love motivates us. Because one of the things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to overcome negative and small thinking. Negative thinking and small thinking are enemies to your dreams. I had a pastor tell me this once, and I never forgot it. He said, Nestor, you got to dream big or else you're going to get in God's way. Negative thinking and small thinking are enemies to your dreams. Listen, we got enough negative people. You know how easy it is to be negative? Oh, that can't be done. Oh, better people than you have tried that. Oh, you can't even say words correctly. You're broke. You got a pass. The people that can look at all that is wrong. But when you got a dream, you can realize what's wrong. But you begin to look for solutions. You begin to look for other options because that's what a dream does. And we need more dreamers. We need more people that not just look at what's wrong in the world, but that can go beyond the negativity, can go beyond what is wrong and find solutions. I want to ask the worship team to come up here. Listen to this. There will be times when your current life situation will not match your dream. How many can say amen? Amen? There will be times where you are does not match where you see yourself being. Well, your dream will be inconsistent with your reality. There was a time when God showed Joseph, I am going to raise you up. I am going to elevate you. People are going to bow before you. And there was a time when Joseph knew the dream, but instead of people rising up to him, he became a slave. And then he went from a slave to an inmate. But Joseph still had a dream. And there will be times when your life will be inconsistent with your dream. What do you do then? What do you do when your life is not consistent with your dream? Well, you could do one of two things. You can give up. You can surrender your dream. Or you can keep dreaming because you know that great is his faithfulness. Because you know that God will eventually do it. I want to do something. We sang that song, the first song we sang, guys. No, the first one. Raise a Hallelujah. As we were singing that song, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, there's people in this room that the reason they're not dreaming is that their current situation is inconsistent with their dream. And during this song, he wants to minister to you. So I want to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to sing this song. I don't know if we can sing the chorus. You guys know music better than I do. But if you got a dream and you've maybe abandoned it, or maybe you're discouraged by it because it involves going back to school and you're broke right now. Maybe your dream involves a family and you're divorced. Let me tell you something. God will prolong your life before he gives up on your dream. So church, press in the presence of God. Press in. Raise your hands. If you want to come to the altar, you can come to the altar. Let God rejuvenate you this morning.
I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar.
One of two things happen. Either because we stop believing God, or because we stop believing in ourselves. Whenever you do one of those two things, your dream will die. If you stop believing God's faithfulness, you'll give up. If you stop believing in what God has put in you, your dream will die. And I want to tell you two things. What others believe about you is not as important as what you believe about you. What others say about you is not as important as what God says about you.
Yes.
Everybody needs a dream. Look at what Habakkuk 2:3 says. Look at this verse. This vision, and remember, visions and dreams are synonymous in the Bible. This vision, it's for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, what do? Give up? What do? Go after something else? No. We wait patiently, for it will surely take place, and it will not delay. If you gave up on God's dreams for you, because it took longer than you thought, God tells you this morning, believe in me again. Believe in yourself again. And dream again. Dream again. Dream again. I want to challenge you to do something. I'm going to ask them to sing that chorus just one last time. And as they do that, I want you to talk to God and I want you to tell Him what you're going to dream again. Be specific. God, you gave me a dream to feed the homeless and I'm going to do it. God, you gave me a dream of a family that will serve you and I'm going to go after it. God, you gave me a dream that I would preach and I'm going to pursue it. Come on, would you talk to God right there where you are? Dream again. Dream again. We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare Him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but He didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you. Transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in Him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.